Let's pray. Father, thank you for this Lord's Day and for this time together, for brothers and sisters. Help us to walk in light together. Encourage one another today. Bless us and help us to serve you faithfully. Help Brian and Erica, my daughter, as they are away from us. Keep them in your care, we pray. Help us as we read your word, understand it. In Jesus, amen. The last chapter 11, one of the things I want to, in the end of it there, I wanted to point out is in verse 25, it says, "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well pleasing in your sight.'" And so now let's go on into chapter 12. "At that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath.' But he said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions, how he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent." Okay, so here's the Lord Jesus and his disciples going through a grain field on our Saturday, or the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. And the law prohibited servile work on the Sabbath. And in this verse 25 of the last chapter, he said he praised the Father that these things were revealed to, hidden from the wise and intelligent, and revealed to infants. And I just was thinking this morning about if Jesus had chosen someone schooled and highly disciplined in the law, like Pharisees and scribes, to be his disciples, and they were passing through the grain fields, they would have never touched the grain. Likely, you know, they would have just, "We can't do that. That's prohibited." But Jesus, knowing what was going to happen, they were walking through the grain fields, and he didn't restrict them at all from picking the grain and eating. May have even done it himself. But if he had chosen people that were highly religious, they wouldn't have even thought about touching it, because that had been against the rules. But Jesus didn't do that. He set this up for a purpose, to teach us something, to teach the Pharisees, to teach Israel something. And then the Pharisees then said, "Hey, look, your disciples aren't even doing what's lawful, or is not, they're doing what's not lawful to do." And he said, "Haven't you read where David got hungry and entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, and which wasn't lawful for him to do? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent?" And then he says, and this is pretty key to understanding this, "But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here." So if it was innocent, if the priests were innocent for breaking this rule of keeping the Sabbath, if they were in the temple, Something greater than the temple is here among you, Jesus said. It's himself and the kingdom of God. And that's greater than the temple. And we've been called to be priests unto the Lord, each of us. And he's ushering in a new thought, a new way of thinking about God's will for man. And then here on he goes, but if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. The sacrifice, to sacrifice something is just that, a sacrifice. It's something that requires something on our part, something that we are giving up, like an animal or some money to buy an animal or grain or whatever sacrifice they were giving. And God said, this is a reference to Hosea 6, if you'd known what this means, Jesus said, when God said, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. So he was saying they were innocent, and you were condemning them. I desire compassion. But religion gives a sacrifice. Godliness and love for the Lord gives compassion. And then he says in verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Another place in the Bible it says that the Sabbath was not, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. But the Sabbath was made for man more than just a resting day, where you did all your work on 6 days and gave God one. It was made for man as a picture of something that was coming, something that is fulfilled in Christ, and something that is even yet to come. The rest of creation, the rest for creation that we have yet to experience. But as far as our souls, our desire, what drives us, he that has entered into Christ, Hebrews says, has ceased from his works, his own works, as God did from his. And so everything that we do now is unto the Lord. It's not our own stuff, and we give him a tenth. Everything we do is his. And that's why it shouldn't devastate us if something goes wrong in our plans, because it's his. Or it shouldn't just throw us all out of kilter if someone asks us to do something, because after all, we're his. We're his. It's not ours and his. We are all his. Every day. And the early Christians said, living in the continual observance of the Sabbath, not just one day. Departing from there, he went into their synagogue. And a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, what man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? You know, that was an easy scenario, wasn't it? They would have all done that. They would have all, either for pity for the lamb or because they would lose it and lose money because they couldn't, they would die. Okay. And the obvious question is, well, sure we would. And then he says, answer is, sure we would. How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? See, sometimes our religion builds in us a resistance to right thinking, because we just get in this groove, in this idea of thinking that if you're right, you're going to do it this way, and if everybody else does it wrong, and so we're going to choose what's right. And so whenever we're presented with a situation, if it doesn't fall into under that category of what's right, then we don't do it. And And that's not always what's good. So then, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Well, we're always supposed to do good. So the man with the withered hand, he could be healed on all 6 days of the week, except for the Sabbath. That seems ridiculous, doesn't it? I mean, the day that was supposed to be set aside and sanctified at that time was, you couldn't even do good on that day? And that's how people, their thoughts begin to develop around things that they thought are leading them closer to God, but actually their thoughts and the way they operate, live their lives, heads away from Him, because that becomes the focus instead of doing good, being good. Then He said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and it was restored to normal like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against Him as to how they might destroy Him. So they wanted to destroy the Lord because they were challenged. Their world was getting upset. Something was changing. What they revered as what's godly and holy was being destroyed a little bit. This man's going to cause trouble. And that's what people do over and over and over again. And whatever, whether it's church or whether it's politics, whether it's whatever, business, they want to destroy anything that would challenge their mode of thinking and their comfort zone. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Many followed Him, and He healed them all and warned them not to tell who He was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon Him, and He shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear His voice in the streets. A battered reed He will not break off, and a smoldering wick He will not put out, until He leads justice to victory. And in His name the Gentiles will hope." This is a prophecy out of Isaiah that is being fulfilled in Jesus. And He is the servant whom God has chosen, and He's well pleased with. It's His beloved Son. And He will put His Spirit on Him, and He shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. And that's interesting that it says that, like that, justice to the Gentiles. Because what made sense to the Gentiles wasn't religious laws necessarily. It was what is good and what's right. Being right, just doing what's right and helping each other and being kind and good. And that is the kingdom of God. That is the law and the prophets, is that we do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. And love God with all our hearts. So I'm going to stop there, because this chapter has 50 verses, and that's a lot to cover. We just pass over it if we do that. So what I want us to go home with is, for one of the main things is verse 6. "But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here." And we operate not in a temple building. See, that was the center of the Jewish worship, was the temple. And without that, they were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed that building. And Christianity does the same thing often. It reverts right back to that. They build these great big cathedrals and huge buildings and all that, and which sounds really good to hear singing in, but outside of that, and even if that's necessary. So We don't want to go back to that. The temple of God is you and me. And Christ was greater than the temple. And if we dwell in Him, we can be among those that are innocent, that would not be condemned by God, because He desires compassion and not sacrifice. All right? Okay, I don't have your assignment right now, but I'll give it by tonight. Maybe today yet, but you can go ahead and give your...
We're supposed to get a time this week that we are like an oak, not like a leaf getting thrown around in the wind. And I got, this week I've been getting up better and not just going back to sleep after my alarm rings. And I've been, and just not sitting around on the couches. And the other day we were told to clear firewood out of the lean-to. So there are some big ones, and I was tempted to leave them, and we were going to saw them up. I took them out instead.
When Jesus was being shown all the wonders of this world, He told Satan to get behind Him.
This week we were traveling back from Pennsylvania, where we went for a funeral. And I was driving, and we came to St. Louis, and I thought I was doing pretty good. I was going to be able to get through. But then I missed my one road, and so I ended up getting off on the side streets. And what was even worse was it was in the middle of the night, and so that was stressful, but then Daddy helped me, and we eventually got back on the right road, and so I was able to do that without getting shaken like a leaf, I guess. So
this week we were working on a door, replacing the spring, and it was really hard to get to, and I was up on a ladder working, and then Dad and Tim were just talking to the owner, and I was kind of getting upset because they were just down there talking, and I thought, well, I'm doing all the work, I should be down there talking, and they should be helping me out. But then I talked to Dad after he got done. I talked to him about it, and he helped me get through it, and finally got through it.
I had various temptations this week, but one of them was sometimes the younger children, they do things that they know I don't like, and to get me upset, but I don't get upset, and just yeah.
One time my younger siblings were being kind of silly and rowdy and loud they're talking about all sorts of stuff, but I decided to not participate, but be diligent on my chore. And sometimes when faced with a decision, I don't always make the best choice, and so I'm working on not just doing whatever pops into my head and doing my best.
One time when I was 8, we were invited to two of my cousins' house, and a lot of my cousins were there, and they were gonna watch a movie, but my parents didn't approve of it, and so I really wanted to watch it, but they said I couldn't, and so I just played with toys in the other room, but I just sucked it up and didn't complain about it anymore.
A couple weeks ago, a leak got sprung in our rabbit pipes somehow, and anyway, it was a real bad deal, and I'd been trying to get it working, and it just wasn't doing very good, And so then I went in to eat and came out again afterwards, trying to just working on it. And then here we went in, prayed, and got all ready to go to bed. And I almost went to bed leaving the rabbits without water, but I thought, you know, I'm not going to be able to sleep right, because if they're one night without water, it's really bad for them. So I went out there and stayed up real late getting it all fixed up, and finally I got it fixed up, so I was real glad about that.
Now that we own the cell barn, there's a lot of things that you have to stand up and stay strong about. It has to be done this way. There's a lot of things that can't be done wrong, have to be done right. And a lot of people, you know, they'll be, well, we can do it like this, and no, we got to do it like this, or it's going to get messed up later. We was talking about different things last night, but one of my brothers, there's an old saying, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And it's just, you have to stay strong in the stuff that you believe, or you'll fall for anything.
One of the last times we went to Mexico, we were with some people we didn't have much to do, and they were starting to do something that they were doing something that I kind of wanted to do, but I knew I wouldn't. My dad wouldn't want me to, so I just didn't do it. And that way, I tried to be strong.
One time, a little while ago, I had some dishes to do, and I was about to leave some milk jugs because I had some sour milk in, and I really didn't want to do them. But then I remembered that I'd probably get into trouble if I wouldn't do them, and somebody else would have to do them, so I did them.
This week, my brothers or sisters would getting upset, I just worked on not just retaliating, just turn around and walk away from it, and just turn the other cheek.
This week I just thought about in general, about like when I'm doing a job helping Olin or anything I'm doing, it seems like if I don't like the job, if I'm not particularly enjoying it, or you know, I tend to think about quitting time or thinking about taking a break and eating a snack or just anything but just doing my task. And so what I tried to do was just remember that I'm in this, and it's a battle, it's work, it's not always easy. And it doesn't matter how you feel, you just gotta press through it, and it's okay to quit when it's done, and it's okay to have a snack or a break, but to get out of the game, that's not what a rock or your reed shaking with the wind, if you're gonna just find excuses to not do a particular job, or just kind of space out while you're, like when you're working on a crew, you need to always be attentive and ready to help when you see that somebody needs help. But if you're just kind of spacing out, daydreaming about quitting, you can't be available to help. So I was working on that this week.
As far as the assignment for next week, I'd like the young boys to memorize verse 7 of chapter 12, and the older ones to pick out a portion from 18 to 21, and that's a prophecy about the Lord and Isaiah, and just comment on part of that and how, what you like, or something that stuck out to you there in that prophecy from verse 18 to 21.